For a few years, I couldn't find time, energy, or a crowd to dance with. I was in pursuit of a visa to stay in Australia. I used to wake up with tears streaking down my cheeks, sobbing, my whole body aching for something. I would have dreams that I was dancing, sometimes on stage performing, which was something that I did hundreds of times for 20 years growing up. I can feel the spotlight's warmth on my skin. I still remember each flex of each part of my muscles that my body needed for the different movements I used to make, like these little jumps you can do on point shoes, some of the most challenging movements a ballerina can make, those tiny jumps on the points. I can't explain why they are so exhilarating. But if I close my eyes now and imagine myself doing them again, I can feel the same rush just with the virtual sensation of accomplishing them. Being on stage with my friends was something that I'm thrilled to have experienced. The solos, the group performances were unforgettable. I'm not one from wanting to go back in life. I don't do regrets. I find a waste of time trying to change what's unchangeable. I'm not a nostalgic person who would like to go back at all. What I was crying for when I woke up in tears was to start dancing again in any way. I didn't want to go back in time, to go back to Brazil, to go back to those dancing styles. I just wanted to reconnect to the art form that has been for me throughout my life, my source of inspiration and storytelling. Welcome to Creative Space Mastery Podcast, the show about how to establish a framework to get your creative practice going, bringing consistent creative productivity. I'm Tanya Crivalenti, an author who has been on the storytelling path for 20 years now. In joy and in chaos, and I'm able to be productive every week. I invite artists and all types of creators out there to hear about a practical process, metaphors, and examples in order to achieve creative space mastery. Some of us are born with this thing, this guidance of something we either love doing very much, or that we are born to do. As Monk, a TV show character, says, it's a gift and a curse, knowing and having creative desires. And I'm sure the idea will have come from some wise philosopher way before the TV show. Having an idea of what you're meant to do on this earth, having something that you love doing above all else, having a mission in life, all or any of these things are profound gifts in life. Many people will never know or have any of that, and that's okay for them. But the ones like us who have this compass within, always pointing to something bigger than us, something that commands us to do this thing, whatever it is, will have a constant pull to do that thing. Crafting buttons, counting stars, listening for alien talk, becoming a drag queen, or a dog groomer, gardening, creating big cow's milk. It doesn't matter. If it is inspired, if it makes you happy, it will make someone else happy too. You will find your crowd and share that passion, or you will be the happiest lone dancer in your living room. And we've seen in episode 6 about doing whatever crap you want, it doesn't matter, bringing joy to your heart does. It can be other things, as we know already, even business creation, computer coding, wine crafting, but we will call it your art. And your art is relentless. When it is the one, it doesn't leave you alone. The farther you get from it, the louder it screams in your head. If you give it no attention, it starts sending you the ideas at the most inappropriate times. If you do not hear them, you start dreaming them. And then you have a rip in your chest, sometimes a physical pain. I have a sensation of pressure in my chest when I have no time for my storytelling. I feel like my life is being wasted. Some days I'm exhausted to the bone. Exhausted from trying to be seen, to be heard, to be valued, to be recompensed for my efforts to make a sustainable creative life. I feel alone. I crave a fellowship that I no longer have. A group of people to help me on my mission, maybe. These fellowships of the rings, these tight groups of friends, they come and go in life. And when they disappear, they are hard times on the soul. I am privileged to have had many and to have many friends from these groups that formed and dissolved through the years. From work, dance, friends, uni, courses. But life, you know, is guaranteed of one thing above all others, change. And the times in between these fellowships, they are lonelier. Sometimes you will have a group of people working alongside you. In the same mission, creating with you, you will be a duo or a team. But other times you will be on a lonely project. Creatives are privileged in this sense. The creative life is this mission that is yours and yours alone. You're precious. No one else can carry it for you. It will bring you adventures, may bring you glory, friends, riches, but the burden sometimes stretches you. As Tolkien says, like little butter for too much toast. And some days you just want to give it all up. Hand the burden to someone else to carry it for you and go settle in a nice shire, in a little cottage with round doors. You forget that your soul will keep clamoring for creativity to come out of you. From the last episodes, we have determined that for us, creative space is something you establish right now with whatever time you can give it, involving all activities relating to your art. It is recurring, contractual, it is an imperfect process, and it is a protected space for inspiration to come through the middle. In previous episodes, we have discussed about setting a recurring time for creating. Declaring what it is that you truly want to do, bravely declaring your passion. We talked about creating with focus as a professional. Then we discussed about following the ducks of inspiration, your true muse, and what it is to have chaos under management and ride the lows gracefully. We talked about the art of having fun doing whatever, and how there are no limits to what you can do with that. We explored setting some rules for yourself to protect you from falling down some rabbit holes and losing your time unproductively. Followed by how to create an impermeable membrane and protect your time from others. We discussed not being alone in the cosmos, surrounding yourself with knowledge, with people who can support you, with sources of inspiration. Next, we talked about mixing it up, varying techniques, locations, and creating variety to spice up and innovate your creative output. And we discussed resistance, how to break through it to be able to reach creative flow consistently. Today, the theme is having a mission and what it means to have something inside you, guiding you to this creative desire all the time, and how to deal with this constant demand that lies within. When I'm not creating, I feel like the time I have on this earth is being wasted. My mission on earth is not to create spreadsheets, it is to create stories. Working to support myself was very hard for a long time. It was discovering the principles explained by Dr. DeMartini, a human behavior expert, that helped. What he says is that you can align your interests in your psyche in a way that you don't feel as if you're departing from your mission, and you end up finding your inspiration everywhere, every day. As you change your energy, you are less conflicted and more whole. You're more settled and content. Your life flows better and you end up finding better opportunities. Therefore, you have better chances at progressing more in your mission. That's going with logic alone. If you go into the metaphysical aspects, I have heard many times that what dictates your present condition is the energy you vibrate, not your physical state. But it's for you to decide if that is something that you believe can influence your life or not. That would mean that if you're happier with your work and life, you would have better chances at finding more opportunities for your creative endeavors. The good news is, according to the people who have these beliefs, your belief is immaterial. If you are happier, you're bound to attract better opportunities. So either way, you'll have nothing to lose. Just addressing your inner conflicts means you'll free your mind for the creative process. And that is enough of a benefit, independently of what your metaphysical beliefs are. For example, for me, the way I align my interests is finding characters for my books and stories in my workplace. Not that I would ever breach anyone's privacy and transform them into a character, but I can use traits, patterns of language, the kindness of one, the smartness of the other, the narcissistic tendencies of some, the way a workplace functions, the banter, a scene, the events, the gossip, the illicit rendezvous, or the politics. I can observe life in the making, absorb dialogues, interactions, the way people lead or learn to lead, the contradictions, so much to philosophize about and use in my stories. Second, I can create stories at work. I write blogs for them or engagement pieces. The other day, I had to run a trivia event and I transformed it into a little story, stringing each question into a storyline. What is the primary process that powers the sun? Now we are talking about the sun. Which land is known as the land of the rising sun? And now we are traveling. And I started the journey by recognizing our reconciliation action plan, inspired by the company's beautiful original artwork that sent us on the road. My colleagues said they loved it, and I think it's because my passion came through, because I was on my path, my own songline. Whenever I'm on the storytelling way, I shine. I interviewed colleagues at my previous job and wrote bios and interest pieces, along with the marketing department. I created an onboarding workflow that was a storyline. And all this working part-time, so while writing my books, stories, podcasts, and now my thesis and dancing. As I aligned the mission compass, the pull to different directions inside me calms down. What can you do or learn in your current workplace, for example, that will help you in your mission? What skills? Is it learning customer service, public speaking, or stakeholder management? Or can you use your artistic side in your workplace in any way or situation? Even talent shows at work will make you connect with your colleagues, and that alone can change how you perceive your work. Having to deliver trainings and courses at work can further you in building your own business when you will have to present proposals to your own clients. Are you a painter? Can you be exposed to amazing artworks that the corporate companies can afford? Or are you a sculptor? Can you absorb different people and shapes at work? Look around you. You can find inspiration everywhere. Ideas from every single area of your life. And then everything starts contributing to your art and nothing is detracting from it anymore. In the various companies I worked at, I have always loved visiting the warehouses or mill works because they are like a ballet, a choreography of precise movements and steps. I saw steel works in Sandvik in Sweden that were an example of humanity's power over nature. The tons of melted ironwork pouring like lava, being threaded into tubes and wire as if per magic. At another company, I saw melted glass transformed into fabric, and then our team had the idea of getting stretched that canvas and hiring a painter to create landscapes over it during a fair. That was my way of creating stories with it back then, and I wrote about that for the company's newsletter. The transport warehouses I worked at were like Disney's Fantasia. All those images fuel my inspiration, and all that was not wasted time in my life. It builds life stories, history, experience to write about. Using your imagination and creativity, it is possible to align anything to anything. If you align your day job with your creative desires, you stop the tug of war within. That compass inside that is constantly going mad, trying to point you to do something you really want to do. As you stop wasting energy at work, you have much more surplus energy for your creative time. And more ideas will come to get more time for creativity. If that is your true path, eventually you will find sustainable ways to make the switch. The desire to create all the time won't really go away though. I don't know, but I think it will be there even if you are a full-time creator. I'm not one yet, so I cannot say for sure. But from what I have read and observed in artists, I believe the art will ask you for more and more and more. So you have to try to achieve balance and keep the hungry wolf tame and at bay. Because you have to control your urge and not let it control you. And try it to the best of your ability. I heard this story. It's one of those that I like so much, I haven't researched to know how much it is true, so take it as a parable. My belly dancer friend read it somewhere that Gabriel Garcia Marquez was going on holiday with his family. Everyone was in the car, already on the way, when he said, "Stop! I have to go back and write a story." 4 years later, he came out with 100 Years of Solitude, a book that is considered to have been instrumental in winning him the Nobel Prize in Literature. He was a Latin American author who influences more Latin American writers, including me. It is said that he put himself and his family through difficult times during those years of intense writing and economic strife. So you see, his compass didn't let him take a break for about 4 years. Was it healthy for him or his family? Probably not. But the world of literature has a masterpiece I wouldn't want to be without. My recommendation is always to maintain sustainability, though, so you can remain on your mission for the longest amount of time possible, as healthy and as wealthy as possible, which in time means balance for all things, which again, it means controlling the hungry beast that wants you to be creating all the time and dialoguing with it. It comes back to giving it your fullest and best when you have time for it. Offer it a feast when you are at it, full focus, the best, freshest time. Best resources, most dedication, no interruptions, all that we have previously discussed. And we've come full circle. Remember not to expect perfection. Don't expect life to be a rom-com movie, to be a sea of roses full of angels and all to go your way. That is an unfair expectation to put in yourself. Because when that doesn't happen, you think you're broken or you're unlucky. You're living in a world set by different rules from others. You're not. What's on TV, in social media, and the stories people choose to tell you are heavily edited. I'm tired of people coming to me and telling me about the people who apply for one job and get it. The friends of the friends who married the first guy they met on Tinder. That the person who got a literary agent after the first letter they sent. Those are the exceptions. And those are the stories your friends tell you, because those are the success stories. And they are trying to motivate you to keep going. They think they can't motivate you by telling you about the 300 other friends who sent 300 failed letters, dated 300 strange people, and received 300 refusals of jobs, literary agents, or people. But sometimes I feel it would be more productive, right? We sometimes see the real stories that read as failure, 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 success. But we seem to absorb at most from this story just failure, success. Denial is strong and seems to absorb only part of the real story. A little voice in our head says, that won't happen to me. And when we are in the middle of our story, in the 15th level of failure, we feel like giving up. That it only happens to us. We completely forget about the other stories we've seen that told us about the many failures others had. How many times I have started from zero, lost everything, have been in debt, have had to accept hell. I have a quote at home that says that having nothing does not determine my future, only where I'm starting from. The success stories you read are not about people who had everything going right for them all their lives, with no adventure, no setback, with perfect stability and luck. No, real stories, on the contrary, are about people who lived in garages, in the gutter, lived on the streets, about migrants. It is exactly about knowing nothing about a specific issue, or departing from a negative 30 level. Great, that's where success narratives and very engaging stories start. They are not about people who do everything perfectly right and never leave their comfort zones. When you are in the middle of your story, though, when you are failing and failing, you feel like giving up many times. But the mission compass keeps telling you to keep going. Your ideas and inspiration won't stop coming because you have decided to settle for less and give up. It feels easier in the short run, but it's spurring a part of you that is a vital part of who you are meant to be. You've seen people who move from one place to the next often, and when you think they are going to be happy, they move again or move back, and they are always complaining and idealizing the place where they are not living. That can happen when the place is not the problem at all, but the real problem is being carried along with them from one side to the other, like an unfulfilled need for a creative outlet, for example. As I said, some days I'm exhausted and I want to have the most ordinary of jobs, something mind-numbingly repetitive. The opposite of creative. I always remember my most important ballet coach. On her most challenging days, she used to say she wanted to be a bank teller. At the time, that meant staping paper receipts and handling cash all day, and nothing more. I don't think they even used computers then. That's what comes to mind for me. Staping paper all day long. That's my ideal counter-creative job. Important, but not creative. But then I take a breath. I trick myself with an easy and tiny starting point. I break resistance and I start. This is it. If you have set up a recurring time to create, declared your passion bravely, dedicated yourself professionally to this time of creation, when you follow your dots of inspiration to know what you want to work on, during which time you manage your chaos wisely, riding the lows gracefully, and mastering the art of having fun doing whatever crap you want to do, you then have set up the rules to safeguard you from your rabbit holes, and you have set down the boundaries for other people. You have surrounded yourself with a support system, and now you are mixing it up, finding inventive ways to spark creativity. Next, you have stayed the course, brave resistance, tricked, persevered with an ethical attitude. Now, you align your mission compass, negotiating with your inner self, finding how to be creative all the time and how everything you can do contributes to your creative time. And with all this, you are on your way to have a space for inspiration to glide through the middle. Thank you for listening to Creative Space Mastery Podcast. You will find all about this discussion at creativespacemastery.com and hope to catch you at my next episode. If you like it, give the show some stars, write a review, and share it with someone who could enjoy it. See you next time. Ciao!